purchase your high holiday season. Happy New Year! Welcome to the Ann Levine Show. I'm Ann Levine. And, of course, that's Michael over there.
Hello.
It's Tuesday, September 20, whatever. Never mind the numbers.
Yeah, skip that.
Skip that part. Rosh Hashanah already.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, end of the week actually begins.
And Sunday night is the big opening, shall we say.
Yeah. And it's going to be 5783, people.
And then,
it's pretty exciting.
Then we've got Yom Kippur following on the heels.
Right, yeah.
So, of course, lots and lots of preparation.
Cooking.
Yeah, yeah. This year we're celebrating with some friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some of the usual suspects and
right.
Some of the unusual suspects.
One new suspect.
Right. And
so that'll be good.
I want a video recording of Rosh Hashanah dinner.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not sure at this point I'd want to be reminded of it already. And we haven't even gone.
Wait a minute. You just time traveled back, forward and back.
I know.
All right. So here's the menu. It's very, very unusual.
Super unusual.
Yes. We are having the following. I sound like Fran
Drescher.
Brisket?
Right, there's some brisket.
Yeah, we're having a brisket.
So unusual, yeah.
It's so unusual. And, you know, she who will not be named is making matzo ball soup. And she makes matzo ball soup for every Jewish holiday.
Yeah.
And I have found out, as I've gone through life, mm-hmm. that a lot of Americans do that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
right.
some Europeans, I don't know, but no Israelis.
Yeah.
Do that. And when they do make matzo ball soup on Passover, it's with reluctance.
Yeah, right.
You know,
it's like, yeah, no, it's tradition. We got to do it, you know. I'm
starting a new cookbook.
Oh, you are?
Yes, okay. It's going to be called The Book of Reluctance, a reluctant food.
I like it. Yeah.
Reluctant Jewish food.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there are things like gefilte fish.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There are things.
You mean things that you eat that you end up feeling reluctant about?
Well,
everyone
is. You know, when someone comes over, I got to say, there was one year when I was with a very frum group of people.
Okay.
And one Gentile was there. And it was the first time she had ever been faced with a Passover Seder.
Oh, okay.
You were there too.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if you remember.
Yeah, I don't know if I remember.
And first thing is, she just looked at the gefilte fish, trembling in a little lettuce cup. With mm-mm. that stupid little piece of carrot on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just pushed it away very slowly. Yeah. She didn't even attempt.
Well, good for her. She's got sense.
Chopped liver.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed it away.
Same thing, yeah.
But this was the part that killed me. And then she took like a Bissell brisket and whatever she could get away with. She was afraid of the kugel.
Yeah, yeah.
And but finally, the hostess said, look, I understand that, you know, some of this stuff you may be reluctant to eat some of these things.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, here's a matzo ball soup.
Perfectly good stuff.
Everyone loves that.
Right there.
She took one bite of the matzo ball.
Uh-huh.
Pushed the dish away.
Not good enough for her.
Which,
yeah.
Now that is cray cray.
That is a little crazy because
who doesn't love that?
There's pretty good matzo balls, you know.
It doesn't even matter. Matzo ball soup is so delicious.
It's really super good.
especially my mother of blessed memory, who made the lightest matzo balls ever.
Yep.
And who once said to me,
yeah, mm-hmm,
before a Seder, well, no, it was after the Seder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said,
it would make more sense.
Yeah, it was after the Seder. She said, Anne, were my matzo balls too light? Yes, yeah, Mom.
They sure,
yeah,
were.
They were too, yeah, delicious.
They just floated away.
Too light.
Yep.
No one could hold them down.
No.
Up to the ceiling they flew.
Yep.
So, yeah, everyone little had angels to have a cover on their soup bowl.
That's right, yeah.
So, and they were bumping against. I still can't, I cannot get over that.
That's a very funny thing to say.
It is. Yeah. It's like, you know, Anne, was the beef too tender?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean,
yes. Yes, yeah, it was. We ate it with a spoon.
Yeah, we ate it with a spoon. I mean, I looked at it and it fell apart in slices. It was,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never do that again.
No, no, don't.
So
ever
there's
do
a brisket. There's a noodle kugel.
Mm-hmm.
Which
there
is
a. Did I make it? Probably.
No, I mean at this coming Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, 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 yeah.
So this is my friend who makes all of the standard Jewish foods,
yeah,
for every holiday. And as an Israeli, I find it disorienting.
Okay.
And it's not my food.
Somebody else's food.
It's somebody else's.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of the Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi menu. You know what they do?
I don't know what they do. What
you
do
know
they
what
do?
Their gefilte
what,
fish
what
is?
What do they do?
Fried fish cakes.
Oh, hell yeah.
With horseradish sauce.
Okay.
So delicious.
I'll bet. It's probably a lot better than that stuff in the jar.
Yeah. It. Yeah. Oh, God. There's no comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So since, this is hilarious too, since there are going to be, let's say, eight of us,
yeah,
four of the eight don't eat meat.
Right,
don't,
yeah,
eat red
that's
meat.
Where that's where I come in.
So you come in with the salmon,
right?
With the pomegranate
it's
syrup
got a pomegranate
glaze,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And your food disappears.
Yeah, it'll go away pretty quick.
And the brisket sits.
Well, I'll be
with
eating
an
some
attitude.
Brisket, so, you know.
The brisket has an attitude.
Well, of course it does. It's a
brisket.
It's
sitting there like, oh,
it's like,
nice.
I was $47. Come on.
Well, and, you know, and you turned me into strings.
Yeah.
So,
well, it happens sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. To heck with all of you. I hope you're not written in the book of good life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
So the brisket's sitting there with an attitude.
Right, of course. It is.
What else is? Oh, now someone is making a tzimis.
Okay, yep.
That can go a few ways.
Uh huh, yep.
I'm going to say one thing about tzimis, right?
Uh huh.
My father of blessed memory, oh, remind me, I need yard site candles.
Okay.
Like, well, I'm reminding you.
Yeah, we'll have to put them on the list or something.
That I need a lot.
Kind of a list of,
yeah,
things to put them on.
I'm putting them on the list because I'm praising all my.
Right.
I'm going to need like several dozen.
Several dozen yard site candles. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay.
Well, no, I'm thinking, wait, who all the people I've lost if I, right?
Oh, okay. All right.
If
well,
I light one for each person.
Yep. Well, that would be a lot of things. So.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's going to be like seven. Seven is a good number.
I could light a few.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's set the house on fire. That's great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would be the perfect way to start 5783.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there's that. Then, oh, so you are doing delicious salmon.
The salmon, yeah.
Which evaporates.
Yeah.
Every year.
Because it's good.
It's so good. And it's not a reluctant plate of strings swimming in grease.
No, it's nicely,
you know, with an attitude.
Roasted with the with that sauce.
It's delicious.
That's got some smoke in it. So, yeah.
Earth, wind, and fire.
Yeah.
That's so, your salmon.
You know, I like to cook.
You like the cook on it,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I do. I do like to do
and
that.
Then usually we end up with a massive chocolate cake. Because that's our hostess's favorite thing.
Right.
You have been asked, not this year, no one asked yet.
Right.
But in the past, to do the sticky toffee
twice.
Pudding.
Twice. That's correct.
Which is the best thing anyone ever
made. It's so
made.
Stupid good.
Your sticky toffee
it's
pudding.
It's really ridiculous, isn't it?
And if you've never had it, you need to make it.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank me later.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been requested yet.
Yeah, I know.
And
so,
I'm taking that as a
they've already got dessert covered or
blessing.
Something. You know.
No, as a bracha for you.
Okay. Well, I'm doing the fish and probably something else.
Probably
green beans or something.
Yeah, something green that's not boiled at.
Yeah, with some. I don't know, some
to within an inch of
almondine, you know, some lemon.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So anyway, that is coming up. Apples and honey.
Yep.
You know, apples and honey never sounded like a good thing to me particularly until the first time I dipped.
Yeah, it's really something,
isn't
it?
It is so good.
Yeah, it's really, it's honey is an amazing thing.
Those of you.
And so are apples, to tell you the truth. But I mean, honey surprises me every time.
Me too. So those of you who wish to give it a whirl, take Rosh Hashanah out for a spin.
Yeah.
In a simple, easy way.
Get some
nice
apple slices.
Tart apple. Cut it up in slices, wedges,
yep.
And just dip it.
Dip it in some honey.
And a little
and
honey.
Get some local honey.
Well.
You know, if you can.
If you can.
Because that's really super good for you.
Yes.
Especially if you have allergies to pollen and stuff like that, because all of that ends up in the honey and helps immunize you from from the effects of those allergies. So,
what's the story with, speaking of honey, Manuka honey?
Yeah.
Where
I don't know, but it's.
Where does that come from?
I think it's New Zealand, yeah.
I want to hear from people we know from New Zealand.
Right.
Even though they're really not the brightest bulbs when it comes to film reviews. I'd like to
I
hear
love
about
his film reviews. So.
Not this one. Wait, we'll have to talk about that in a second. I want to know what the deal is with Manuka honey. Why did it suddenly become this global fad?
Yeah, I don't really know. Yeah.
And you know how much it costs?
It could be because the Manuka honey is made by bees who get their pollen from tea trees.
Mm.
So you know how tea tree is a benefit in a bazillion different ways. They're saying you're also getting benefits from the honey that is collected, you know, from the pollen from the tea trees. So.
It has a rich caramel and toffee flavor. Could be good for sticky toffee
could
pudding.
Be, yeah, it would be very good for
with
that, I would think.
Slightly bitter undertones and light floral notes. It has a smooth, creamy texture. Mm-hmm. Granules can appear due to the active nature of the manuka. Maybe it's manuka honey. and it looks like gold, like liquid gold.
Well, although I will say that I have learned that different times of year, honey, even from the same bees, is going to look a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well,
because we have a friend with a, you know, with a cranberry bog, and
yes,
she has a bazillion bees and gets honey from them, and yeah, and from the early in the season and late in the season, there's a huge difference simply in the color of the honey.
The dark stuff is the
early, and it's it's good.
So here's I buy from iHerb.com. Or iHerb.
Right.
Depending. And the price for Manuka honey, it depends on the quality.
Right, yeah.
But it starts at $20 for 8 ounces, and it goes up to $75.
Wow. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I want to hear. I want to know. Do you really put it on yourself when you're injured?
Oh, really? Is it like a topical?
Some people use it.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that, but all right. That I guess that's fine if that works.
Yeah. So it serves two purposes. Like if you go camping, you know, you put some in your pack, and it's a good power snack.
Oh, yeah.
But if you get a mosquito bite, you know, or a scrape or scratch.
Just put some on there.
Put some on there. You know, it can serve many purposes.
How about that? Yeah. It's supposed to be antibacterial. Now, I'm not sure that all honey isn't the same way, but especially, like I'm saying, local to you, there are a lot of things that it helps if you're eating local honey.
Yeah, so. I'm going to have to read up on it.
Yeah. Huh.
And
I'm seeing some here. Wow, how big is this? How big is this little jug of Manuka honey?
Why? What's the price?
It's $198.88. So let's see. Yeah. That's for 8.8 ounces. Okay, that's insane.
Now, all these things I'm reading say, never mind the Neosporin.
Huh.
This works way better.
Throw some $200 honey on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, if it works, I'm all for it because natural stuff, that is the best thing. Although, if you burn yourself, aloe is natural. You know, you don't need.
I mean, that stuff is the best stuff.
Yeah.
Aloe
is a great thing.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's one of the best things ever.
I mean, in one night, I don't know, I've had burns that, if I kept it up all night, reapplying as soon as it absorbed,
yeah,
I was fine the next day.
Yeah, isn't that something? I know. It's crazy.
It is. So that stuff works. Let's try the sterile.
We'll have to try the honey, I guess.
And I want to know where the accent goes. Is it Manuka, or Manuka?
Well, it's also called Manukora.
Oh, so, now see, that sounds like...
that's a little more New Zealand.
Yes. Kia ora, Manukora.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that's all I have to say.
All right. So.
All right, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw to you.
You're going to throw it over to me.
I'm throwing to Michael.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's start off with what I'm going to call the saddest story ever.
Oh, I bet there's some music coming.
There is.
How did I know?
You're right. The town of Stowe, Massachusetts. It's a beautiful little town. We've been there many times.
We have.
It's right next to, we go through it to get to Maynard. Or we did.
Oh, right.
As of 2020, the census said there were 7,184 people who lived in this little town that is 40 square miles. They no longer, I can't believe I have to say this. They no longer have even one of the two Dunkin' Donuts they used to have in their town. They're Dunkin' Donutless in Stowe.
Did you just punkin' Dunkin' me?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Did you just punk me?
No, this is a true story.
A town in Massachusetts?
This is a true story. Honey,
with
they
no
make...
no double Ds?
That's right. There is... Some of these people have to go a mile and a half
to get a
cup of coffee. That's right.
Wow.
Okay.
When
this
can
is
we
sad.
Move there?
This is so sad.
Did you
no.
hear what I said?
Yes. Okay. I will tell you, there are 4,200 Dunkin' Donuts in New England.
What about just in Massachusetts?
In Massachusetts.
Well,
well, in Boston, they're...
Aren't they on every corner almost?
Yeah, well, the last count I saw was that there are 66 Dunkin' Donuts in Boston proper and 55 Starbucks. So, yeah, Starbucks is catching up.
I was going to ask you afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, I know people here...
Mm-hmm.
On the COD,
yeah.
That would rather forgo coffee than drink Starbucks. Not
right.
Not
yep.
because of double D pride, all that, although that factors in.
Right,
but
it does.
They think it tastes disgusting.
Right. And the biggest complaint is that people think it tastes burned. Yeah.
Right. Now, I had an experience with Dunkin' Donuts that was extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember this.
But I don't know.
We stopped at the Dunkin' Donuts that's
in
right where you get off and you get
on Mystic, right?
No. The other direct where you're going, it's way before that.
Oh, okay. Well,
you go past the canal on mm-hmm. the other side.
Right.
And then you get to a little rotary thing.
Oh, yeah. Right
and
there.
And there's this Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Well, I don't remember why. Oh, I do remember. We stopped there.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, I'm going to get...
Because we're about to hit the road, and it's
regular.
A long drive. Yeah.
So
get a
coffee, and I want it... You know, I want a lot of cream in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they give me two of those little plastic dork things.
Uh-huh.
And I keep standing there saying, could I have another one? May uh-huh. I have another, please?
Oh, yeah, the little...
May I have another, please?
Yeah, the little individual creamer things.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I need my coffee to get that, you know, milky color.
Right. And also... they don't brew like wimpy coffee at the Dunkin'. It is
right.
very, very dark.
Exactly.
You have to put a ton of cream in it if you want to get it the way you like it.
Right.
That is correct.
So I finally, you know, I was getting blisters on my fingers from opening those little
uh-huh.
things. And the woman was ready to... She was like, you're not from around here, are you? You know, I was like, actually, I am. But anyway,
yes.
Anyway, I finally go through enough of these little creamer things.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in just one regular size coffee.
Yeah.
What we would call a regular, like a 6 ounce or so. Anyway, so head out to the car, take a sip, and I had to pour it out.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. That has never happened to me before, that a cup of coffee was so bad that I had to pour it in the gutter.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so that was the end of that.
Yeah, we don't really do Dunkin'. We don't do Starbucks either, for that matter. Really.
Well, I mean, don't have a Starbucks.
If we were in New York, probably, right? I'm going down there to get some in the morning.
That's
no problem,
actually. Yeah. In New York, you can just say, go downstairs and get me, you know, whatever, a venti latte.
Yep.
Here's $50.
Yeah.
You know. Right. Yeah.
Come back with your latte and $2.17.
If croissants are on sale, you know, you can put it on the credit card. But anyway, it's Michael's Coffee. We serve Michael's Coffee.
That's correct.
And it's very nice. So, all right, back to you, Michael.
Hey, you know, well, there is something else I wanted to talk about.
What is
it? Well, I saw a thing the other day with a young lady on TikTok, and she calls herself Buelli. And I'm going to read what she wrote, and then we can talk about this.
Okay.
And I'm reading it as written. Okay, I'm not adding any words.
Okay.
All right. So yesterday, I went to a restaurant with somebody that I love, and we decided that this time we'd turn our duo into a trio, and we invited one of our friends. When we sat at the table, none of the servers showed up, and one of the managers came by and told us that they would not like to serve us anymore. And when we asked them why, they said, well, that tipping was a big reason for that. Buelli went on to say that she tips everywhere, and she does that due to the fact that she relies on tips herself.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not opposed to her peers refusing to tip, you know, whether they don't agree with it or they don't have the money or, you know, they don't think the service was good enough. So she was pretty unhappy to be kicked out of a restaurant, you know, for this reason. She asked the people there, do you feel that this is a good enough reason to deny service to somebody for the rest of their life if it's based off tips and the service isn't always up to par? And they're like, see ya, you know.
Yeah.
Don't come back. What do you think of that?
Oh,
what do you think of that? I mean, in the United States, there are two sides to this coin, and they're almost always the same. And people are saying, you know what, this seems like an expectation and not what it's supposed to be.
If you live in the land of France,
right? That's another thing. You know, in other places, tipping is a very different kind of thing. You okay over there?
I'm having a little cough problem.
Okay, well,
it's a new. I've been told it's a new drug interaction.
Oh, great!
You know, I'm on this new lung stuff that was taking my voice away.
Right.
Now it's just giving me a
now
cough.
It's just making you cough.
A
that's
dry
absolutely
cough.
Wonderful. Yeah.
All right. Where were we? Tipping.
Yes.
All right. France is an easy place to deal with because they add the tip in.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And it's always called service compris, which means it's understood that the tip is in
the part of the deal, right.
So the thing that happens, though, is if you're an American and you're used to, or from elsewhere, where you're used to figuring out how much you wish to tip.
Right.
And putting it on the check or putting it on the table
mm-hmm.
in cash, you feel kind of weird.
Right,
at least
exactly.
I did.
Yeah. No, I would too.
When I lived there, I was like, wait, can I just get up and not put anything down?
Right.
Well, most people end up putting an addendum on it.
Mm-hmm.
You end up tipping way too much. There's no place I've ever been that I have not tipped.
Well, I'm restaurant wise, I'm with you. And there are other places like, you know, your hairdresser or people that do, you know, these, they do these things for you.
Yeah.
Buelli, the young woman in this story, is a tattoo artist.
Do tattoo people get tipped?
Apparently.
Oh, see.
Sometimes. Yeah. And I don't know. That's another part of the argument. For me, who do you tip? Because let me tell you, this summer, all across Cape Cod, it doesn't matter where I went. It could have been a restaurant. It could have been a drugstore. It could have been just a retail counter somewhere. There's a tip jar. And that throws me way off. In a retail setting, that's very confusing to me. You know, because I'm not used to tipping at the clothing store or what, you know what I mean? It's very strange.
Well, that's weird. And I mean,
but everywhere on Cape Cod this year, I saw a tip jar. Everywhere.
Well,
so weird.
I think that might have a lot to do with the problems we've been having here on the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly people who are doing service jobs aren't making enough to live here.
Right. Yeah.
In any kind of housing.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
No, I think that has something to do with it.
I mean, it is the thing with tips. Right. In America, you have to. You got to tip these people. They're getting, in a restaurant, they're getting $2 an hour.
Oh, no doubt. I mean,
their employer is paying them $2 an hour.
No,
and the rest of their their wages are made up by their tips.
Where someone is serving me,
yeah,
my food, or serving me by doing my hair,
right,
or my nails, or whatever it might be.
Yep.
Yes, but if I go to a retail store to buy a sweater, you know, forget the tip jar.
Yeah, I know. It's odd to me, but you know, for some people, I think you're right. I don't think they're getting paid enough to even live here to work.
Yeah, and I don't think that. Maybe it is. I don't know. Things are really odd. I have a friend that used to call this Cape Odd.
Yeah. I you know what I can tell you about tipping in Australia?
What is that, Michael?
It's not done.
Is it service compris on your bill?
Well, you know that. I don't know that. It's just really not part of the conversation at all. And because I asked our friend in Australia, and he said, you know what, when he was younger and he was working at a hotel somewhere there, every once in a while there were businessmen who came through who would tip, you know, just bringing the bags to the room. So the guys working there would fight over getting them.
Right.
But tips are usually not part of the deal at all. So, I don't know.
Well,
it's
I'm
America,
reading about
it's it is absolutely essential because they don't get paid enough, these people, at all.
I'm reading some stuff here, Australia tipping etiquette. As anywhere else in the world, tipping in Australia is entirely voluntary.
Correct.
No one should feel obligated to tip. And then it says, while in the U.S., tipping is in the order of 15% to 20% as a standard,
right,
the rough rule of thumb in Australia is 10%,
uh-huh,
although 5% will probably do it in a cafe.
Okay. See, it's a huge difference.
So,
but those people are probably getting an actual wage.
When I put 10%,
I don't feel right at 10%.
You and I once went to Shunley West.
Yes.
Which is a very tony Chinese restaurant on the Upper West Side.
Pretty nice, yeah.
And it used to be the last word in Chinese cuisine back in the day. It still exists. I don't think it's quite as...
It might not have the same cachet, but it was good.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it was good food.
And we went there with a very wealthy banker.
Mm-hmm.
And he... And our bill must have been $200.
Yeah.
But he was annoyed with one of the waiters, and he left $10.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Well, I mean, I had to make up for it.
Well, I did too.
Yeah.
And he turned around and said to me,
Don't you
dare
do it. Yeah.
Put any other money down on that table.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
We did. Just so you know.
I'm also related to someone who can, he'll do like 12%.
Uh-huh.
It's like 15 is.
It's, yeah, it just chaps him too much.
Yeah. But 10 is too little. He
and 20?
Oof. Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm such an over-tipper most of the time.
I usually am too. I mean, because if people are doing a great job, then hey, great. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Tipping.
Yep.
Tipping. Well, anyway, I'd like to hear about, I'm not sure what it's like now in the UK.
Yeah.
If they do the...
Well, it's gone crazy here. You know, and just pay these people.
Oh,
that's
I know.
That's all you gotta do.
I know. I mean, it's true. Everything, like if you get your groceries delivered,
yeah,
you know, you're not asked, would you like to tip? You're asked how much tip
are
you gonna add to your order?
Right, because they're paying those delivery people almost
and it's
nothing.
The same thing if you order a pizza.
Right, yeah.
You know, you get asked, because you do all this online, when you get to the checkout, how much tip do you want to put on this?
Yeah.
And it's always phrased in a way.
Yes, it's a closing
that
statement.
That makes you feel like such a jerk if you don't do it.
Right. Yep. And that's one of people's big complaints about it is that, you know, if you don't, or if you don't tip, you know, what they think is enough, you get, you know, it's... You get crap for it.
You get banned from the restaurant.
Or you get banned from this restaurant. Yes. So, I don't know. I just, I will tell you that the server at a restaurant is the person who is the least responsible for the experience. They're bringing you the things, and they're doing the bill, and they're doing all. They're going to be the face of it, but they're not making that food. They don't have any choice about how long it's going to take, what it's going to be like. You know, they're just bringing it to you.
Well, I never base my tip on the quality of the food.
Mm-hmm.
As I mean, it's the quality of the service, definitely.
I think it's. I consider the quality of the experience.
All right, the whole,
you know, the whole thing. Yeah,
shoot and match. Well, anyway,
because I don't think the server isn't getting the entire tip anyway most of the time. So
they have to share them
because the busser and all these other people.
Well, see, they have to tip their bussers.
Yeah,
that's how that. I don't know. This
is crazy.
It's all screwed up in this country. It's very, very.
It really
strange.
Is. People don't want to pay anybody anything. And it just is so maddening.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was just thinking about places we go. When we go to the marina, which is a clam shack, essentially.
Yeah.
And what you do is you go to the counter and you order your lobster roll. And then you go sit down. And when it's ready, they come outside to where everyone's sitting and they call numbers.
Yeah.
I never tip the person that brings my lobster roll.
No, I don't either. I put a little something in the jar when I'm paying for it or something. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. Have we beaten this horse enough?
I'm just saying, I don't know. What do you people think?
Yeah. What do you think about tipping?
Let's talk about that. Dipping. There may be more than two ways to look at this. I don't know.
The reluctant tipper.
That's right.
The reluctant gardener.
So that's what...
Boy, do we have that.
Oh, we got that.
Everyone is reluctant.
We're reluctant. Reluctant.
This peninsula is reluctant. I hate calling it a peninsula.
You do?
Well, it's not anymore.
No, it's not, because there's the canal. Island. It's an island. That's correct.
You know, it used to be...
Used to be a peninsula.
Attached to land.
Yep. Not anymore. We're floating free now, people.
We're free floating sandbar.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just one big happy cruise.
Exactly.
A big cruise through the seasons here on Cape Cod.
That's right.
That's right. And I was going to say,
What are you going to say?
Oh, so what we have to get on and off the Cape is we have two bridges that were built in 1933.
Yep.
Completed in 1935.
Yep.
Part of the WPA. And those bridges are nearly 100 years old.
Correct.
And they are two things. One is in constant need of repair.
Yes,
and
being this age.
Two is too small.
Very small. Yes.
And so many people come to the Cape, drive to the Cape, and it's a nightmare. You know, if it's a summer Friday, whatever the heck it is, when it's holiday time.
Yeah.
Holiday and vacation time. Well, anyway, so people are always coming up with hilarious things. Like, remember the secret tunnel?
Right. Yeah. There, you'll see if you come to Cape Cod, a lot of people with a sticker on their bumper that says Cape Cod tunnel, the, you know, permit numbers, so on.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a total joke.
No tunnel.
To annoy tourists.
That's correct.
Yeah. You gotta say, Cape Cod has the best sense of humor.
Yeah.
About some of this stuff. Or what's the one? Your vacation is not my emergency.
I'm not on your vacation.
Well, I'm not on your vacation. And also, your vacation is not my emergency.
Yeah.
So
yep. There's some of that.
There's a lot of that. Well, anyway, to go with the secret tunnel access, you know, I want to get one and put one on my car. I'm feeling it.
Okay. All right.
I'm kind of feeling that, you know, bitter old Cape Codder feeling. There's a new thing now, which they call the Cape Cod Canal Catapult.
Oh, I love it.
And you get to the canal.
Right.
You back up your car into a huge sling.
Of course you do, yes.
And then they let you go, and your car flies over the canal.
I like it. Where is this, at Plymouth? Or down near Plymouth? Or?
Oh, I think it's probably between the Sagamore and the Bourne Bridge.
Oh, okay. All right.
I want to say again, you know.
I was thinking if they had one in Provincetown, they could fling you to Boston.
See, they already have a high-speed ferry.
Yeah, that is true.
Between Boston and Provincetown. Yeah. And it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
They you know, a lot of people have been asking for one that would come into the bay and maybe go to Barnstable Harbor.
To go to Barnstable Harbor, yeah.
But we don't want that.
No, I don't want that.
No, nobody wants that.
Oh.
So it's just going to stay.
We don't need
the way
that kind of
is.
Traffic. There's already, you know, all the fishing vessels, which you don't want to get in the way of them, right? In and out of Barnstable Harbor.
Well, and you've got all your then lobster you've got the, traps, your, right. your oyster farms.
And the whale watches in and out of there. I mean, it's a lot of touristy
there's
things.
There's too much already.
Yeah, there's enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey,
yeah.
teacher, leave my bay alone.
Yeah, marsh
if
alone.
If you want to go to Long Island Sound, buy all.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Go to the south.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, so Nell.
Right, Nell?
Mm-hmm. Nell. I'm mentioning Nell.
Yes, you are.
Because she will be joining us along with Jemmy and Hank for Rosie's birthday party.
That's correct, yeah.
And we haven't decided exactly when we're having it because her birthday is actually the 25th,
mm-hmm.
and that's the night we're having Rosh Hashanah dinner.
Yeah.
But so we'll probably have it on a different day.
I think I'm going to make her a meatloaf.
Well, see, I would like to hear from listeners.
Oh, what they think?
What they would do, make, give to right. their okay. dog on their birthday.
Third birthday.
So yeah. my cat, it was super easy. I would get sushi. And yep. then feed her the fish out of it with chopsticks.
That's right. Which you have done.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've actually done that very thing.
Right. Now, with the dog, that would not be appreciated at all.
No. Well, I mean, they would
a
chew
little
on the
bites of chopstick
or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll be figuring things out, but I want input from our audience.
Yeah.
And
so start inputting.
A lot of dog people that listen. So let us know.
Hey, I got another thing here.
What do you have there?
Dateline, Boston, Massachusetts. Non-binary athletes will be able to run in next year's Boston Marathon without having to register as members of the men's or women's divisions. How about that?
That's fantastic.
The Boston Athletic Association made this announcement on Monday, and they said they've been working to expand opportunities for non-binary people, not just for the marathon, but for many of their other races, which include a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And the organizers confirmed the change as registration opened this past Monday for the 127th running of the marathon on April 17th
right
of
on.
2023. That's right. They expect about 30,000 people to be running.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, that's really kind of crazy. But yeah, so that's very cool. There's a little progress happening somewhere.
Well,
you know, it's going slow, but it's happening.
I'd like to hear listeners' opinions about this too. There's a first non-binary SNL cast member coming up in this season. I don't know when it starts. But
okay. Big change in the cast of Saturday Night Live.
They scrapped it and they're starting over.
Yeah.
And
they
I'm
just
frankly
got rid of a ton of people.
Glad because they were tanking.
I also think they had too many people.
That's the, the original show had a cast of seven.
Right.
And it was like that for quite a while.
Well, and the deal is when you're on that show and you are a cast member, you are basically and it's been this way from the beginning, you are responsible for your sketch.
Exactly.
You not only have to write it, but you've got to pitch it. You've got to fight for it to get it on.
Right. And
right?
You have to pitch it to the host.
You have to do sets.
The other writers.
You've got to make sure all of that stuff is done.
Right.
You have to herd everybody just for your little piece of the show. And when there are seven of you,
that's okay.
That's not too bad. But when there are 14 of you or,
it's
you know.
It's crazy. You're fighting tooth and nail.
Exactly. And no one's.
Competing with your castmates.
Right. And no one is really getting as much, you know, work as they really should. So.
And then, I know. And then there are times when you're like, oh, wait a minute. Who's that?
Yep. Right. Because we haven't seen them in 4 weeks.
Or at all.
Or whatever. Yeah. I don't know who that
the
is.
The featured players, that's a, they should just get rid of that mess.
Yeah. Although I kind of understand that as sort of the farm team, you know what I mean? But yeah, they don't really have to be part of the on-air show, but I don't know.
No, I mean, let them go in the writer's room. I don't know. Thing. Yeah. You know, on SNL, you can get hired as a writer, an actor, or a writer-actor.
Right.
By the way, if you're SNL fan, if you are an SNL fan, and you want to find out more than you ever wanted to know about SNL, Fly on the Wall podcast.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
David Spade, Dana Carvey, do it.
Right.
Do
it. It's a good one.
It is a good one.
Oh, no, you know what? I got one more thing.
What?
Well, we did talk about this before.
What is it?
There is a piece of poetry.
Oh, yes.
That we talked about.
All right.
That we should, we were going to do on the show.
By popular request.
That's right.
And I'm dedicating this to Nell.
Okay.
Who is the first person that heard this.
Mm-hmm.
And I should never have opened Pandora's box. But I did.
But you did, and here you are.
Well, one night, I was extremely inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
And there were reasons... physical reasons.
Correct.
I mean, I was in tremendous pain.
Yeah.
And I medicated.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
I self-medicated. And so I was sitting on my bed with this, you know, in this complete, what would you call it?
State. Altered state. Yeah.
Very altered state. Yeah. And I decided, now, I don't know if you know this, but I write poetry and a bunch of it's been published and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's good, though.
And I suddenly thought to myself, let me do this thing. It's been done many times, many ways, and write a poem while I'm completely effed up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it should be really funny tomorrow.
Should be pretty funny.
And this is it. And I want to say this made so much sense to me. When I wrote this.
Yes.
I thought I had reinvented the frickin' wheel.
Okay.
All right.
Presenting Anne Levine's poetry. When she was high AF. Okay.
That never happens to me where I break. All right. I just broke. I will try again.
Okay.
You can change your mind. You can see it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I can't believe I'm breaking this, but you can change your mind. You can see it from the other side. Tell me, what is there? What do you see? Describe everything down to every grain of salt. Break into a grain of sand and see its center. It is blue. The color of the Mediterranean on my map. Dive into the water and feel the salt pleasantly rasping your bony pleasantly rasping your bony islands and the curls of your hair. I made everything and nothing here. You can change your mind. You are no longer hungry for that bread.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
It is so embarrassing.
Bony islands. That's what I like. I like that part. Yeah, bony islands.
Yeah, your bony islands.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I can remember exactly what I was picturing.
Okay, yeah.
And where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the only words I could get out.
Right.
To express.
This is a first for the Anne Levine Show. It's a big deal. Right?
It is.
Well, yeah. I mean, Anne's drunk poetry.
Well, you know. Yeah. This may have to be a weekly. Now, I wasn't drunk. I don't get inebriated.
Yeah.
You know, on some crazy.
It's not really your thing.
I don't even want to say.
Yeah.
How I was inebriated.
Okay.
So.
Very.
No. I know it was very.
Okay.
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say very.
What I took to get myself.
Oh,
that
I see.
Way.
Yeah, right.
It was not booze. I don't drink.
No,
at
you
all.
Don't drink.
Anyway, I don't get inebriated very often.
No, but actually, like you
rare.
Were saying, you were in a lot of pain, so that's
right.
What this really was for.
So I do promise that when and if that happens again, I will. Write more poetry and share it with you.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know.
You do. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I don't blame you. I'd feel that way too, probably.
Yeah. Michael?
Yeah.
Throwing it back to you. Oh, the Queen's funeral.
The Queen, oh my goodness, that was, is it still going on, actually? It might still be, actually.
Well, it's 11, no, what time is it? 5, 6 o'clock in the morning?
It's almost, yeah, right.
So, I'm guessing it's time to get up and get into your finery.
Yeah, okay. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, for the post-game breakfast. Of course, we've got King Charles' coronation.
Right, that's coming up in a little bit.
This stuff and the voodoo, and it's probably just as well that we didn't spend any time on this, because I would have offended everyone.
Well, you know, it happens.
I got to say, the breaking of the wand...
Yeah.
Was super impressive.
That was wild. Yeah.
And let me just say, Shana Tova Umetuka, have a happy, sweet new year to all of you, whether or not you observe.
Correct.
Dip
happy
your
5783.
In a little honey and put some lights on.
Galaxy, I'm about to fly. Rain on me, tsunami. Hey.